This is one small part of it, and now it's going to change. You have been a breath of fresh air." Lady Margalotta drew a long holder from her bag and inserted a black cigarette. It lit itself. "Like you, I have found consolation in a different vice," she said. "Black scopani. They grow the tobacco in total darkness. Do try some. You could waterproof roofs with it. I believe Igor makes cigars by rolling the leaves between his thighs." She blew out a stream of smoke. "Or someone's thighs, anyway. Of course, I am sorry for the Baroness. It must be so hard for a werewolf, realizing that she's raised a monster. As for the Baron, give him a bone and he's happy for hours." Another stream of smoke. "Do look after Angua. Happy families is not a popular game among the undead."
"You helped him come back, just like you did for me."
"Oh, he'd have come back anyway in time. Some time when you weren't expecting him. He'd track Angua like a wolverine. Best that things ended today." She gave him an appraising look through the smoke. "You're good at anger, Your Grace. You save it up for when you need it."
"You couldn't have known I'd beat him. You left me in the snow. I wasn't even armed."
"Havelock Vetinari would not have sent a fool to Uberwald." More smoke which writhed in the air. "At least, not a stupid fool." Vimes's eyes narrowed.
"You've met him, haven't you?"
"Yes."
"And taught him all he knows, right?"
She blew smoke down her nostrils and gave him a radiant smile. "I'm sorry. You think I taught him?" "My dear sir, as for what I've got out of all this, well, a little breathing space. A little influence. Politics is more interesting than blood, Your Grace, and much more fun. Beware the reformed vampire, sir. The craving for blood is only a craving, and with care it can be diverted along different channels. Uberwald is going to need politicians."
"Ah, I believe we are here," she added, although Vimes could have sworn that she hadn't so much as glanced out of the window.
The door opened. "If my Igor is still there, do tell him I will see him downtown. So nice to have met you. I'm sure we shall meet again. And do please present my fondest regards to Lord Vetinari."
The door shut behind Vimes, the coach moved off. He swore under his breath. The hall of the embassy was full of Igors. Several of them touched their forelocks, or at least the line of stitch marks, when they saw him. They were carrying heavy metal containers of varying sizes, on which frost crystals were forming.
"What's this?" he said. "Igor's funeral?"
Then it sank in.
"Oh, my gods, with party loot bags, everyone gets something to take home."
"You could say that, sir. You could call it that," said an Igor. "But we think that putting bodies in the ground is rather gruesome. All those worms and things."
He tapped the tin box under his arm.
"This way, he'll mostly be up and about again in no time," he added brightly.
"Reincarnation on the instalment plan, eh?" said Vimes weakly.
"Most amusing, sir," said the Igor gravely. "But it's amazing what people need. Hearts, livers, hands. We keep a list, sir, of deserving cases. By tonight, there will be some very lucky people in these parts."
"And these parts in some very lucky people."
"Well done, sir. I can see you are a wit. And one day, some poor soul will have a really nasty brain injury, and..."
He tapped the chili box again.
"What goes around, comes around."
He nodded at Cheery and at Vimes.
"I must be going now, sir. So much to do. You know how it is."
"I can imagine," said Vimes.
He thought, "The axe of my grandfather. You change the bits around, but there'll always be an Igor."
"They're really rather selfless people, sir," said Cheery,
when the last Igor had lurched off.
"They do a lot of good work. They even took his suit and his boots because they'll be useful to someone."
I know, but..."
"I know what you mean, sir. Everyone's in the drawing room. Lady Sybil said you'd be back. She said anyone with that look in their eye comes back."
"We're all going to the coronation. Might as well see this through. Is that what you'll be wearing, Cheery?"
"Yes, sir."
"But it's just ordinary dwarf clothes, trousers and everything."
"Yes, sir." But Sybil said you'd got a fetching little green number and a helmet with a feather in it.
Yes, sir.
You're free to wear whatever you want.